Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. I'm your host, John Fowler. John Sandy in the house today.
Who's in the house?
You are. You really
get down. Get down.
Is that an Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, that was my Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I thought so. If your kids were watching, what would they say?
My kids?
Yeah, would they be saying, man, that's dad doing this?
It all depends. Jonathan and Michelle would be totally different. John's like, whatever. Michelle's like, God damn, jeez.
Dad.
Can't believe you did that. You know, that's Michelle.
Well, that's the advantage of parents. You get to embarrass your children.
And it's part of my day.
Well, yeah, that's definitely the truth. Man, I tell you, I should have wore a different hoodie on the inside because
it's clashing.
Well, it's just not, you can't see. It's like messing up the green screen.
Is it really?
Yeah, but that's okay. I could pretend like it's cold.
It is. It's 19, in the 20s, isn't it?
19. It was 19 this morning. I know. It's just too chilly for me. But anyway, so I woke up this morning, and I go through a ritual before I get out of bed. I check in accounts. I check emails. I check, make sure all the Facebooks and all that stuff is in place like it should be. Mm-hmm. And then a buddy of mine, a video posted from him, and he is at Gateway Church in Texas. Where you listen to him,
Robert Morse?
Yeah, Robert Morse. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, he's a really good teacher.
And so Thomas Miller, he is the, I guess he is now producing Carrie Jobst and a bunch of the groups.
She's from that church,
and
right?
She's from that church. And Thomas is over, I guess he is the music pastor still there. And he and I are friends. We went to church camp together.
Is this one of those things where you start bragging about all the people
but I got to show you.
It gets annoying after a while.
No, I got to show you this. I got to show you this. Yeah, I got to show you this video.
Okay.
Because this is something that that they posted today for him, and so it's him playing the piano. But it's just absolutely, the cinematography is just crazy. You'll love this. Watch this. Isn't that awesome?
Now, is that at the church?
Yes. Well, I guess. I mean, I don't know where they did it at, but
That is amazing.
I mean, just absolutely just gorgeous. And so I ran into that post this morning, and I thought, well, I got a quick minute to edit it and put it on the show this morning because, I mean, it's just, that was from last year. So I can't wait to see what they do this year. And that's their candlelight service that they do.
I was watching Dr. David Jeremiah the other day. And he had on this group of young men and women just dressed to the T doing this amazing music. I think it was a cappella. Man, I mean, just sharp as can be. And a whole setting, you know, for Christmas. And then he comes and speaks later. But that was part of their service, I guess. So it was like something like this. But, man, there's some of these churches, they can do some.
Oh, it's just awesome.
I remember when we were at Maranatha and had Russ Jones as our music minister.
Oh, yes. Russ was great.
Russ was just special. And he did one. He did a taping where they brought in these boom cameras.
Yes.
They had a boom camera. And everything, stage was lit up with candles, and they were dressed to the T, and they did this whole concert, and that boom camera just swinging across the church. Oh, it was just phenomenal stuff.
I can't wait till we have those, because those are really neat. This is state of the art where we're at, but in Gassaway and Winfield, we've got some really good state of the art stuff. But having boom cameras would really be an awesome thing.
Also, to have cameras that follow the speaker or different angles, up close. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really would be good. So hopefully at some point We shall get those.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. So what you been doing?
This is the John Jun Show, first of all. Let people know.
Oh, like they don't?
No, they don't.
No.
Oh, they know who you are. Sure.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure. Let me see how many people are watching. Let's see, 3 or 4. Let's see here. I can tell you.
I'm on an off day. This is not my normal day, so I don't know.
Well, they don't know that. They don't know me, so they don't know. Well, they don't know if it's an off day.
They don't know me.
Yeah, because they don't know what day this was recorded. You know, we don't tell them. We don't tell them what time it is.
I'm talking about live, though. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're talking about live?
Yeah, just.
Well, what day you're supposed to be here?
You don't know.
You coming Monday?
No, you don't even know.
You coming Monday?
You don't know.
I bet you back out Monday. I bet you, here you go. Christmas Day is Monday coming up, and I'm sure you're not going to be here.
Well, you are?
Well, yeah, I will.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. I don't miss a podcast. Hardly ever, except if I'm in Florida.
Excuse me, I will be next week. Excuse me?
I will be in Florida next week.
God, are you serious?
Yeah. We're leaving. But, you know, nobody cares because they all get it wrong. It's like when I'm supposed to be in Winston-Salem, people, I thought you was going to be here. I thought you was going to be in Winston-Salem. It's like, you know.
You wonder who they're talking to.
You don't need to tell me where I'm supposed to be. You know, it's like nobody ever seems to. But that's a good thing. You know, with our Secret Service detail, nobody knows where I'm at.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so that's a good thing. I do not have Secret Service detail.
Is that black car you always use?
The black Suburban. Tim Morris.
What they call it, the Beast?
Yeah, Tim Morris has a couple of those.
Does he really? Mm-hmm. That are extra armored?
No, but they're for his limo business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, we're talking about bringing back the political show in January.
No, I have. I'm not in that inner circle. So
I think I told you just don't listen. I think we are talking about bringing the crew back together because it's a political year and a lot of stupid stuff going on.
It is a political year. You're right. It's not yet, but it is.
It's
heating up.
Yeah, and so I think we just need to talk about some of those things. So
is it going
to
be the audio?
Yes, it'll be audio. And if I could figure out how to do 4 cameras, but this system won't let us do it. For some reason, so I need to talk to Bopper and see if he sees any new updates. But, yeah, that would be really cool. And we'll be on Rumble. We won't be on Facebook and YouTube.
That's from my
thanks
side.
To you.
That's right. Thanks to
Yeah, thanks to you. I don't have any left. You know, I've got one left. I've got my own personal, and then I've got the Gas Away, and I've got the Pulse WV Live one. So, I mean, there's 3. I used to have all kinds, but now, you know.
I've caught on to that because I know you guys would schedule the program and not tell me.
Now, why would I do that?
So you don't get in trouble.
I just need to censor 2 minutes per comment and then keep. David Frampton called me one day. He's our accountant down in Florida. He called me one time and he said, your show is horrible.
Yeah, thank you.
And he said, it can be good. He said, but everybody's talking over everybody, and, yes. You know, and he's an old radio announcer like we are. And, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, he said, you guys got to get a grip, and then he hangs up.
And then I repented since then, so we'll see.
We'll see
how it goes. I do, yeah.
Well, I think you'll do fine.
I hope so.
Of course, when Caleb and you are in the room, and Tim and I are very conservative Republicans.
Oh, please.
But well, when we're in the room with you all, we're like liberals.
Well, you know, especially Tim. I mean, Lord,
so we're excited about that. We just want to just give a little tease there that we're thinking about bringing that show back.
Are we going to call it something?
Yeah, just like what it always is, because I'd have to redo the whole stuff.
And what is it? I don't remember.
Just the Pulse WV Live thing.
But, I mean, as far as the political show.
Yeah, that's it.
But you had to give it a name so they know what's on.
You just did. It's the political show. On the Pulse WV Live.
That's what you're going to call them?
Yeah. Well, what did we call it?
That's what I asked you.
I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look and see what we did call it.
Our Mary had that neat globe. That was kind of cool. And the music.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
I'd have to look that up and see.
Because
I cannot remember what the name of it was. Huh.
We'll have to come up with something.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to figure out how I'm going to do it. With all the other stuff I'm involved in, how are we going to do it?
I don't know. You're here. Oh, you're everywhere.
Everywhere.
You just came back from the Amish country?
Yes.
How was it?
Very good. Had a great time. And awesome. had a great time and enjoyed that. And then we're back. My schedule's a little bit off because I know that it's really what day it is and I'm thinking it's another day, and I'm thinking, you know, so I'm like behind, but I'm not. I got everything caught up before I left, and so I'm.
And you must have done a show Monday morning pretty early.
I did it early, yeah.
Yeah, I got that pretty well. I saw it show up. I said to Cynthia, I said, he must have done that pretty early.
Yeah, sometimes I'm here all hours. You never know when but I'm leaving after your show here. I'm leaving. I've got to go to Gasway. So,
okay.
You know, it's just a.
You may go.
It's a fun day. Oh, I can't leave. You don't have to turn it off.
Are you going to. Yeah, you got to leave while I'm still talking?
Yeah.
Well, you might as well. It's what you do every time I'm here anyway.
Well, I'm here the whole – I got to endure it this time. I've got to endure it. Unless Cynthia wants to go to Tudor's. I'll be right there, Cynthia. Cynthia, be back at 9 o'clock because I got to go.
Okay. So what time do you need to leave?
Oh, we're fine.
We're all right? I mean,
Okay. Yeah, do your show. Yeah, do your show.
I thought if you want me to go, I'll go, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all. Yeah, I just wanted to bring you in for 25 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny, no doubt about it. So, you know, people see the Christmas tree, and so they know it's around Christmas time.
Yes.
You know, that we're doing a show. So,
can't get around
have you,
that.
Have
one.
You asked for anything specifically for Christmas?
Boy, with God or people?
People, Cynthia. You've asked Cynthia for anything?
No, I don't want to get into that. But anyway.
Oh, you're not winning that one. I got you.
Yeah, we just. Concentrating on the kids and family, you know.
Yeah. It's like when you want something, you just go get it. You know, it's like, and I don't know why Walmart's so packed, because Walmart has the same stuff that they always have. They just lowered the price a little bit.
Is that what they did?
Yeah. Well, they get, you know, new stuff here and there. You know, I did buy a TV when we were down in our son and daughter-in-law's. I did get a special on that.
That was Black Friday, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
they're all piled up in bed, and I'm out shopping.
We were at Walmart, I think, yesterday, and it really wasn't all that busy. We didn't have to wait long in line at all.
Yeah, not a lot of people. Not a lot of people they're shopping online now.
Michelle's big on that. She does a lot online. Here it starts coming in the mail, one package after another, you know.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I really miss about going to Walmart is fat people in sweatpants.
You really miss that?
I do.
we met a couple people while we were shopping that were just extremely friendly and stopped to talk to us as if we knew each other. And we just responded with love and just...
Probably recognize you from the show.
Well, interesting you would say that. You know, I still have my jacket, my Praise 101 jacket, right?
Yeah.
We were at one of your favorite places yesterday, Golden Corral.
The Troft.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
We were there yesterday.
Rich people go to the Troft.
Celebrating our anniversary.
Yeah, see, John Sandy gave me a Werther original.
A Werther's.
Werther's original. Thank you so much. And this has got the chewy stuff in the middle. It's not the hard things that break your teeth. So I told him, I said, man, I said, that's really nice. I said, this is what rich people eat.
And I said, I borrowed it.
You borrowed it. And so then, you know, you're going to the Trough. That's where rich people eat. So,
I know.
I'm speaking over you here.
And I got a new saying for them.
What, the Trough?
No, Werther's original.
What?
Werther's flavor. I forget what I said.
Should we try to get them as a sponsor?
Well, I should
try to get them as a sponsor.
Every once in a while I'll come up with a little slogans or jingles for something for a product.
How old is this?
That old? Yesterday.
Yesterday? It's been in your pocket?
Oh, how long has it been in my pocket?
Yeah.
Three washes.
Yeah, it tastes like Tide. A little bit like Tide. It's good, though.
And the liquid is where the Tide got in.
The Tide, the liquid part tastes like Snuggle.
Snuggle.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm on Willy Wonka. That's pretty good. I broke my fast today to eat this.
They are so good. Yeah, we love them. Really? Whether the hard ones or the soft ones. And before they came out with the soft ones, we were talking about, man, they ought to come up with the soft ones, you know, and they eventually did.
I took your idea. No doubt.
It happens all the time, John. It just happens. Well, anyway, what I was going to tell you was when we were at the Golden Corral.
Trough.
This guy walks up to me, and he says, I saw your jacket. He said, I listened to that, your radio station. back the years ago, you know. And so we got into a really nice conversation. I thanked him for coming up and talking, and he asked who I was. I told him, he said, yes, I remember you. And so it was just really neat to connect with someone back in those days, which we really enjoyed what we were doing and radio and being a part of that. And, you know, we were a part of the community and everything else, being a Christian broadcasting. And we just really had a real nice conversation. And so
did you tell him about the radio station you're on now?
Yes, I did. And I told him that we have a 24-hour radio station, Christian radio station on the internet, online, and I get a chance to DJ again. And yeah. So we just talked a little. Yeah, it was really nice. And then a lady to my right, she looked at me and she said, are you a minister? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I thought I've seen you around town. So I thought, okay, things happen. Things happen around the salads. It just does.
Mm-hmm. They really do. And let me tell you, we went last week to see Pastor Wright preach.
Yes, at the bridge. Wonderful.
The bridge out at the old Scarlet Oaks out in Poca, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. We lived right there close.
Yes, they did a nice job with that, didn't they?
They really did. I was there for the auction when they did the auction on that.
When they bought it?
Yeah. Well, we were looking at it from Winfield.
Right.
But, you know, we ended up, of course, not getting it. But so anyway, I'm getting ready to walk out. And Grant Snow's...
You upset?
No, at the end of it. Grant Snow's mom, Denise, was there. And she says, do you have any of your books with you?
And
I said, well, matter of fact, I do. And so she said, I need three of them. And I said, really? I said, okay. So I went out and went to the car and got them. And then I brought a few extra with me because I'm thinking, okay, maybe somebody else.
Yeah, you never know.
And so the lady looked at her and said, what book is this? And she said, he wrote this book. And she said, well, I'll take one. And then another lady that was with her, she said, well, I'll take one. So I ended up selling five of those books right
there.
So
awesome.
I liked them. We didn't get out of there till kind of late because, you know, they wanted me to sign them.
And I know once you had their, your little click that we...
Click.
Well, yeah. We weren't part of it anymore, so we
all
just slipped out.
For the love. Are you really serious?
Slipped out.
That was just so funny. You're so funny. No doubt. Well, I should probably go ahead and tell people about the book while I'm at it.
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Well, the logo is on the screen there, and this is what you look at on Amazon. And Frankie the Honeybee, he is seeking help from God to fulfill his mission of spreading sweetness to a bitter world. So his challenge was that he could not fly. And so with help from his guardian angel, Ace, and his unwavering belief in God, Frankie learns to fly and fulfill his purpose. And you can get that on, you can get this book on Amazon.com. I wrote this book, 15 years ago? You think?
It sounds about right.
About 15 years ago, and just now getting it published. And we want to be excited about what John Sandy's doing, because he's got some stuff in the works. So
yeah, I'm working on it.
Pretty exciting.
Every day on some stuff. I was up late last night doing some more, just tweaking some things before we get the final approval on it. Yeah, putting together a website. We'll tell you more about that. And
yeah, so it's exciting.
A lot of
great things. John Sandy is on part five of There's a Shaking Going On. A whole lot of shaking going on. I should play Jerry Lee Lewis.
That would work.
Come on, baby. Yeah, whole lot of shaking going on.
With his leg up on the piano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the bestest. He got saved, you know.
That's awesome. And he passed away just recently, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know who all his family is, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Gidley.
Who?
Is it
Mickey Gilley.
Gilley. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mickey Gilley, who recently passed away.
Oh, he did too.
Yeah, he died too. Well, actually, Mickey died first, but they got to do some stuff before all of them died.
I remember the video of that. And, of course, Swigert.
Jimmy Swigert and all of them, and they got to do some jamming.
Yeah.
It was some good stuff. But
that's neat.
Anyway, he's on part five, and so we're ready for him to
There's coming a shaking.
Fire away.
Did you know that? There's coming a shaking. Okay, folks, if you haven't been with us on 1-4, you can find that on our, what would you call it, our library or our... Go to Pulse WV Live, and you can find the others. And I have a podcast. If you download the podcast app, you can go to Growing with God. And I have all my stuff there, the library of things that we've done in the past and working on this one. This is part five of There's Coming a Shaking. And for those that weren't with us, we'll just quickly say that I put down four categories of shakings. There are many more and the subcategories we could get into, and we will some. But some of the shakings are designed by Satan to defeat us. It's a type of shaking. Some that touch our lives because we live in a fallen world, right? Those things just happen. You live in a fallen world. Others are a result of our own choices. That's where the big ouch is, isn't it? And then the final shaking where God brings judgment. So as we continue on, we just got through with the story of Paul and Silas coming against the girl that was a fortune teller and had a spirit, what they call a python spirit. And he spoke to the spirit, not to her. He spoke to the spirit and commanded to leave. And it wasn't that she was revealing something he didn't want people to know. That wasn't the point. Paul let you know who he was there for and his calling and his purpose. He had no problem with that. He was right up front with it. So she wasn't saying anything that was revelation to Paul. But she did it for days on end to where it became an annoyance and almost a way of blocking why he was there. She was revealing who he was, but the way she handled it in the spirit was actually interfering with what he was called to do, even though she revealed what it was. So he rebuked that from her, and she was set free. And we talked a little bit about that as well. You can go back and catch some of that. Right now we're going to go into Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to go to the NIV. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. And it's important, folks. If you have a shaking going on in your life, make sure it's of God. You know, any way you can. Don't make choices that there's a shaking in your life, but it doesn't come from heaven. Make sure it comes from Him and is from Him. And it filled the whole house. Of course, we're talking about the upper room, the day of Pentecost. They were all sitting. This is really interesting because in a sitting position, you have a lap. And the Lord says that He's going to pour out a blessing on us into our bosom, our lap. So that indicates that we're in a position to receive. You may think, well, I'm always ready to receive. Well, part of that is being obedient. They were in a room sitting, waiting. They were not anxious. They were patiently waiting and believing. When you get a lap ready to receive, that means you anticipate something from God. And we need to anticipate God's work. We need to pray and believe for things, but we need to anticipate. We should go out every day believing that God is going to do something in our life great because, first of all, we made ourselves available. We give ourselves to Him, His will, not our own, right? All these wonderful things. We take up our cross and follow Him. So this wonderful wind started blowing and filling the house. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Here they're waiting for God, but you know, they didn't know what it was going to look like. They didn't know what it was going to feel like. They didn't know what it was going to sound like. So can you imagine their first immediate instant response when this wind started blowing through the house? Your first thought might be, is there a storm coming? Something natural, right? There's something natural coming because most of us folks, we live in the natural. Even when God's trying to get our attention, we don't recognize it sometimes. We don't recognize His still, small voice. We don't recognize the things He allows in our life to prepare us for what He's called us to do. Because He's looking for a people that will say, God, I'm going to stick. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to do Your will. And they were sticking. They were sitting. They were waiting. They weren't going anywhere. They were going to stay, I believe, until God did what He said He's going to do. So it's important that we're faithful on our end, isn't it, folks? So here's this mighty wind blowing from heaven. I assume at first they did not know where that was coming from. But I expect when they started seeing it, they probably looked at each other and thought, is this it? Is this it? Anticipation. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, this is important, folks, because this is a tongue of fire. I mean, there's many tongues, but it's one fire. This one fire split. Therefore, they were all one. This fire was all one fire separated on them. So this was a oneness taking place in their life. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, the Spirit was in control. So many times we do things And we're not even checking in with God. We're not even checking to see, God, is this the right way thing to do? Is this the right thing to do? Is this the right time to do it? Is this the right person that I approach? See, we don't do that. Sometimes we just get on automatic pilot and we just start doing things because that's the way we did it in the past. Folks, God's word is fresh every day. God's leadings are fresh every day, and they're designed for the moment. Each time designed for a specific moment. Seek his face. Seek wisdom. Pray for wisdom. And he'll give it to you if you don't doubt. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The first time, folks, Jesus had the Holy Spirit when he was baptized. Now they're receiving it for the first time. Can you imagine this experience they were having? The wind blowing through the house from heaven, and then this fire coming over their head and splitting up over each head. See, your walk with God is very personal. Yes, they all had the same flame, the tongues from the same flame, but they were touched individually. That's how personal God is. He will touch you one by one. Your experience will be your experience with God. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. Your experience will be your personal one-on-one experience with God, just like them. Then they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's key also. The Holy Spirit's in charge, not you folks. We've got to turn everything over to him and let him take charge and let him give direction. His will be done, not our will, folks. And we try to do things in God's name, but it's our will. We need to do things in his will. And so this is significant that the Spirit gave them utterance of different tongues. It said other tongues, plural, as the Spirit enabled them. The Spirit on the female slave had a spirit. I want to touch on this for a moment. The story I just told you about. The female slave had a spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit fell on them. God's Holy Spirit is only one. Have you thought about that? The devil has many spirits, many demons, and God has many angels, but they all operate under one spirit. All these demons, they operate as separate spirits, and they are not one like the Holy Spirit with us. Satan's spirits are not personal with us. They're out to kill, steal, kill, and destroy, right? God's came to give us life and give it more abundantly. Do you see the contrast of what the devil offers you and what God offers you? There's only one right spirit. Demons know who you are. God operates in real time. That's key. That's key, folks. They had a Holy Ghost experience on the day of Pentecost, but you know what God wants to do? He wants to give you a Pentecost experience on your own, when you're there and when you're available and giving your life. He wants to have an individual experience to you. He wants to give you an individual experience and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can walk one-on-one with God. That's why he rent the veil in the temple whenever he was crucified, is he wanted to open up the door for each one of us to come in one-on-one with God, our Father. So the devil knows who you are. Demons know who you are. God operates in real time. He is always ever present, fresh. There's only one way, folks, the way of Christ. Folks, if Jesus didn't do his will, why do we think we can do our will? We're all here to do the will of the Father, Jesus included. This caused Paul and Silas to be stripped and beaten with rods and thrown into prison. So that was a shaking that they didn't deserve, they didn't ask for. But if you obey God, you're going to get the devil's attention, and he's not going to like it. So you got to stand strong. Don't give God credit where credit is not due. God doesn't cause disasters in your life. God doesn't cause storms to destroy your family and your home. God doesn't cause people to drive drunk and kill someone. It's important to know that God is on your side. He has the best for you. And so what Paul and Silas suffered many times, Stephen and others, They all went through things because they were obedient. If you're going to go through a suffering, if you're going to go through heartache, if you're going to go through shaking, excuse me, let it be the result of obedience. Because when you learn from disobedience, and God's merciful, if we repent and give it to him, we can learn from disobedience. But our way leaves scars, not just on us, but other people. God doesn't leave scars when he teaches you one-on-one. Isn't that awesome? Let's go to Acts 16, verses 25 through 33. Again, from the NIV. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Now, you can agree with me, right? Excuse me. This is not a normal shaking, folks. This is not a normal earthquake. This is God's work. When God does a shaking, we can come out whole if he can get our attention, which we'll find out he did with the guard, the Philippian guard. So here's what the earthquake did. It shook the doors open and the chains fell off. Folks, that's not a normal shaking. Nothing was damaged. He was just releasing his people, Paul and Silas, and going to do a great work as we read on. So the jailer, the Philippian jailer, woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. That'd be your natural thought, right? If you're in prison and the doors are open, aren't you going to try to escape most likely? No. Paul had a higher calling. Paul was not about his own safety and his own will. He was about God's work 24 hours a day. Are you concentrating? Are you being available 24 hours a day with God? Or do you get out the easy way sometimes whenever the door opens? Not every open door is from God, folks. Not every one. If we follow him and choose him, then we'll be at the right place saying the right things to the right people. Paul and Silas knew that there was something greater than their release, and that was the release of God's work through their lives into other people. Folks, Paul and Silas were in prison to do God's work. They weren't there to simply be punished for doing God's work. They were there to do God's work. So when you run across something, when you're being obedient and you know God has been faithful and you've done his will and something comes on you that's not good, don't immediately try to get out of it. I hope you can hear what I'm saying. Don't immediately try to get out of something just because it is not comfortable at the time, because your obedience caused it and therefore God wants to use it. Paul knew that. Paul also shouted to the jailer, "Don't harm yourself." See how concerned he was? Paul cared about the very person that jailed him. We were all here. All were here. Why did the rest of the prisoners stay? Because if you remember, Paul and Silas were singing and hymns and praising God while they were in prison. See, they were preparing for the moment. Their obedience, folks, every time you're obedient, it's connected to things eternal. Every time you're obedient, God will use it. If you will just be obedient, God will use it. So Paul and Silas were obedient. They got them in prison. They were obedient, so they were able to minister to the very person that jailed them. Because they were obedient, the other people in jail listened. They were moved by the testimony and the peace that Paul and Silas had. Folks, I expect a lot of those people in prison were not very happy. We're probably very disturbed over the situation. And all of a sudden, they hear two men speak and praise God and worship sing hymns. And they're thinking, what do they have? I need what they have. And so when the doors flew open, they wanted to stay with them. Do you see the draw, the opportunity you and I have in walking with God? There are people watching you. You may not know it, but they're watching you to see how you act and how you react to situations. It's one thing, folks, to be faithful to God in front of people and people see your faithfulness. It's another thing for people to see you faithful in the midst of the shaking. Because you know there's a higher purpose for your life than what's uncomfortable at the time. See, they were beaten, thrown in prison, and yet what were they doing? Singing praises to God and hymns. Why? Because their purpose was not about them. Their purpose was about God. As I've said often, it's not about you, but it's for you. And so now he was able to minister to the jailer. And eventually, as you know in the story, his whole family. So they brought them. So the jailer brought them out and said, listen to this. He said to Paul and Silas, sirs, now, don't you normally talk down to people that are in bondage when you're not? No. He recognized they had something he needed just like the other prisoners. They all recognized that Paul and Silas had something they needed. Folks, are you like salt? Do people long to have what you have? Do people approach you and say, what makes you different? Where do you go to church? Do you have people to probe you to find out where you go because they want what you have? Folks, our calling is to be salt. We are to show people something they don't have. If you're going to be carnal, if you're going to backstab, if you're going to gossip, if you're going to have offense in your heart against people, you are not salt. People don't want what you have. They already have that. So he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe. And folks, it's not complicated, is it? Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Folks, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. If you preach another gospel, run. If you hear another gospel, it's all about Jesus. Everything, folks, it's all about him. And you'll be saved, he said, if you call on the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And you, your household, and you and your household will be saved. Now, I didn't mean, folks, don't misunderstand this. It didn't mean that simply because the jailer accepted Paul and Silas, his family was saved. No, you'll find out that he ministered to them in the home. He says, and you and your household. See, they were prophesying. Because of his obedience in the heart of this jailer, they had something that he needed. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. So you see, the word had to come to them too, and they had to make a personal decision. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Folks, when you get saved, you're going to start acting different. Now, whether you continue to or not, would you be dependent upon whether you stay faithful to him in his word and grow in the scriptures and fellowship with others. I was talking to someone just the other day about how critical it is that we fellowship together, that we don't forsake coming together. Folks, it's not just a decision you make. It is crucial. It is, underline it, crucial that you do not forsake the assembling together. And we could spend a long time right there on why. But two reasons is to give and receive. That's why we're there, to worship God so that we have something to give because we've lived it during the week. See, if Paul and Silas hadn't lived it the week before the beating, they probably wouldn't have gotten beaten because they wouldn't have been obeying God. But they were faithful the week before the beating, which brought about all these chain reactions to where now they went from being beaten, which seems like they were defeated, right, in the eyes of man, the world. They went from that to winning over a whole household and ministering to a whole jail full of people. Simply because they didn't put themselves first. They took up the cross to follow him. So he washed their wounds, which is shows you how grateful he was. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. See, they were saved and then baptized. Just like Paul. When he was struck down the Damascus Road and Ananias came in and laid hands on him and he was healed, his eyes. It tells us that he was saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, and then just days later went out and started preaching the gospel. Wow. Now see, normally when you get saved, you don't just go right into ministry. What was different about Paul? Paul received the baptism as well. When you receive the baptism, God's going to start working with you in ways that he can't work with people that are saved. Now, I'm not putting down being saved, folks. Don't get me wrong at all.
You need salvation. That is the beginning of everything. But, oh, he has so much more for you. He wants to endue you with power that you can speak to mountains. And that's where the baptism comes from. The Holy Spirit is known as the administer of gifts. Okay? So that kind of ties together. So due to Paul and Silas' obedience, the shaking of that female servant, remember how we talked about that, the jailer and the jail and all the jail people that were in jail, all were shaken. Why? Because Paul and Silas were faithful. Do you see the constant chain reaction? We don't hear more about the jailer and his family and how God used them or those in the prison that may have been in the ministry and followed Paul. We don't know all the different directions God took these people once they were affected by the obedience of Paul and Silas. Are people affected by your obedience or your disobedience? Are people affected by your carnality or your humbleness? Folks, it is way past time for the church to walk like Paul and Silas walked, like the disciples after Pentecost. It's time for us to start walking in the Spirit. It's not about us, but eventually it's for us. But oh, the people that are waiting for you, how many people so far in your life have not been touched and witnessed to because of our disobedience, because it's about us instead? Well, folks, we spend too much time asking God for things. It's not all about you. When you're going through things, concentrate on other people. It's just awesome. Immediately get your attention on other people when you're going through things. Let God take care of you. He will. Because you're responding to a shaking with obedience and thankfulness in your heart. Oh, thank him all the time. Praise him all the time. And watch him work in your life as you care for others around you. Because he's preparing you to say yes to him. See, God's trying to get us to a place, as we close here, God's trying to get us to a place where it's all about him. To try God is to already question his existence. Oh, I'll try it. Oh, I'll give it a shot. I'll take a shot in the dark. I'll give him an opportunity to help me. No, you don't try God. That's why it says when you stand, therefore stand. In other words, once you made a decision, stop trying, do it. Stay as long as it takes till this world collapses. I am not going to be moved. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm going to do God's will no matter what because he's faithful and I can trust him with everything. My family, my finances, my health, everything. I can trust him with it all. And when you get there, then God will label you in the Paul and Silas category. And people will start being moved when you're going through a storm. People will start being saved and healed and delivered when you're going through disasters. Why? Because it's about him. So as we close, we will continue on with part 6 next time we're together on There's Coming a Shaking. And we're going to talk about different types of shaking and ultimately the shaking of judgment. That's what all your shakings are leading to, folks. How you respond to shakings, how you handle shakings, how you avoid some shakings through your disobedience will tell you how you will do in the final shaking. Folks, you got to practice this stuff. You got to walk in it every day. And I want you to be encouraged because I want you to know that if God deals with you, that means you still have hope. If you feel convicted at all, that's a good sign, folks. And I encourage you that wherever you are in your walk, you could be backslidden, lost, saved but not growing, or saved and growing, but you feel like you're kind of stuck in the mud right here. Let me encourage you today, just pick Jesus up, give him a call, talk to him, spend time with him, learn the word so you can claim his promises. How can you claim a promise if you don't even know what they are? If you need healing, it's not good enough to say, well, doesn't that say somewhere in the Old or New Testament that something about his stripes were healed? Folks, that's not faith. You and I need to walk with him and gain a relationship with him and trust him in the shakings and avoid other shakings because of your obedience and watch him work. Oh, looking back over your week and see where God's helped you to touch 2, 3, 4, 5 people just in doing your regular stuff because you were available and it's not about you, it's about him. And then God will take care of you. Oh, he has the best for those that leave the choice to him. Jesus, we want to thank you Father, you are so, you're so wonderful. You're so awesome. You're so faithful. You're so true to your word. Your word is eternal. You'll never go back on your word, even in heaven. When you say something, it's done. And, oh, help us to be, Father, in a place to receive by walking in obedience with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts by faith. We may be you may be going through things, folks, that you don't understand. Nothing makes sense at all. But I encourage you to do different things. One is to learn his word. Another is to rededicate your heart to him. Another is to attend a church somewhere where God's word is being preached. The fivefold ministry is being preached, where you can feed and grow, and God will eventually use you to bless other people as people bless you because you're a family. I pray for encouragement today that in the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over you, every single one of you, that you will turn to Christ and go deeper. And don't try him, folks. Give him your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Awesome job, John Sandy. And there are several ways for you to participate in this ministry. First of all, pray for us, because God is just doing some really cool things, and some things that he's doing that we'll reveal to you in 24 and let you know what's happening. One of the other ways is you could give to this ministry. You could text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. Go to thepulsechurch.com, give through PayPal. You can also check out our website while you're there. Or mail your love gift to P.O. Box 141, Gassaway, West Virginia, 26624. We're feeding children in Braxton County at one of the elementary schools. We're feeding 40 children per week. And so the money that you give will help towards go towards this expense. And what happens is, it's called the backpack program. Children go home on Fridays, and a lot of children don't have food until they get back to school on Monday. So we try to bridge the gap and to be able to help them. So anything that you give will also help in that aspect. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. Have a great day.